Today's scripture reading is from 1 John, 4th chapter, the 7th through the 12th verses in the New International Version. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The word of God for the people of God.
Will y'all pray with me? Lord, as we continue to worship you this morning through your holy word, I ask that you would use your scriptures to light the dark corners of our minds, to warm the cold places in our hearts, and to heal the brokenness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So if you haven't figured it out already, Christmas is like my favorite time of year. It's my favorite holiday. It's my favorite season. It's absolutely the only time of year that my house gets decorated. I'm sorry, my mom sends me fall decorations all the time, and they just never make it longer than a year. It's the only time of year that I change the radio station in my car. So usually I'm always listening to K-Love or I'm listening to the news, but during Christmas time, I'm like counting down until the Christmas music comes on the radio because I love Christmas music. In fact, when Jason and I got married, he had to lay down some ground rules about Christmas music. Like all other Christmas things, nothing is allowed to start until after Thanksgiving. But also no Mariah Carey. That was the second rule. He can't stand the Mariah Carey Christmas music, or I don't think he likes her at all for that matter. But Jason, you know, he can be a little bit of a Scrooge. My overexcitement of Christmas is well balanced by his kind of Scrooge-like nature. And over the years, he's loosened up a bit. I was kind of shocked this year because a couple of weeks, it was like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, he showed me how to find the holiday music on Sirius XM radio. And I was like, oh, look at you. We're making progress. You're so sweet. And even yesterday, we listened to Christmas music as we worked on gingerbread houses. So we've been listening to all this Christmas music, and one of the things that I have noticed is there are a lot of Christmas songs about love. Like, I know Valentine's Day is the holiday for love, but if you listen to Christmas music, there are so many songs about love, and I thought we could play a little game this morning, if you want, you know, just to have a little fun and worship at Christmas time. We have some songs that are going to play, and as that clip goes, it's your job to guess the next word. So all of a sudden, it's going to stop, and you're going to come up with the next line, okay? Just sing it out, you know, as loud as you want, or whisper, whatever you want to do. So are we ready? All right, let's see this first one. You got it. You got it. All right, let's check this next one. Very good. All right, that's 2 for 2. Y'all are good. Good job. All right, and I had to do this last one because of Jason. songs, notice a common theme about those songs? They're slightly romantic, all of them. They're all about cuddling up in the snow and mistletoe and being with your favorite person. And all this romance can actually make Christmas time so much fun for some people. But you know, it can also make Christmas time feel lonely and isolating and hard for others. And sometimes if we get too wrapped up in the cuddling up and meeting under the mistletoe, we miss the true love story of Christmas. Because the true love story of Christmas is a far greater, far deeper, far more miraculous love story that could ever happen between two human beings. It's the love story of God and God's incredible, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional, lavish love for us. Love has been God's story from the very beginning. When God made the heavens and the earth, it was love that created the world that we live in. When humankind was created in God's own image, it was love that moved God to place a part of himself in each one of us. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was love that motivated God to clothe and provide for them as they had to leave the Garden of Eden. When the world became so corrupt by sin that the whole earth was filled with destruction, it was love that moved God to cleanse the earth and give humanity a fresh start through Noah and his family. You know, even the Ten Commandments and the law are love. And now I know that oftentimes we look at some of that stuff and we think of those things as horrible, restrictive rules that are meant to just set us up for failure. But the truth is that God so loved his people, that God wanted to be connected with his people, that he provides a path of connection for us to live in a fallen and imperfect world and somehow still be in relationship with a perfect and pure creator. And now, as we approach Christmas time once more, it's time to celebrate the part of the love story where God demonstrated his love for us in the most magnificent way. A love that comes to you and meets you where you are. A love that dwells with you and knows you and restores you and transforms you. A love that sacrifices oneself for you. For you to be free from sin and from death, that you might never be separated from God again, that you might never, ever think again that you are not loved. This is the true story of Christmas. It's not the romantic, butterflies in your stomach, smitten Hallmark Christmas movie kind of love story. It's much, much more than that. It's everlasting love in action in good times and in bad times, reliable, trustworthy, unwavering, sustaining, miraculous love. It's a love story that literally changed the world and continues to change the world. While the commercialization of Christmas can sometimes leave us feeling sad or lonely or tired or discontent, Christ comes this Advent once again to offer himself to you, that you might know a gift so grand, so deep, so wide, so full, that you yourself would never doubt another second that you are so cherished, incredibly created, desired, set apart, and made holy. Our passage this morning gives us three clues on how we can fully unwrap the gift of God's love this Christmas. First, it tells us that we must accept God's love for us, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. Some have said the journey from the head to the heart, this 18 inches, is the longest journey in the world. And you know, there may be some in this room today who have never accepted the love of God, but my guess is that most of us are Christians and that at some point in your life, you did accept God's love for you. But I also have a feeling that most of us, by the way that we live our lives, me included, struggle a little bit to know God's love for us in here. We know up here that God loves us. We read it in scripture, we sing about it, we talk about it, we tell other people that God loves them. But then we live our lives sometimes and fall into these behaviors where we are trying to earn our way to love, where we are trying to prove to others and to ourselves that we are worthy to be loved. The truth is, accepting God's love isn't something we can only do one time. As Christians, accepting God's love is a daily practice. And it's way easier to say it than to truly do it. Because for those who have been hurt by the ones that you love, or the ones that were supposed to love you, for those who have been hurt by the church, for those who have made mistakes, for those who struggle with sin like anger or depression or pride or jealousy or lust, or selfishness, to accept that God loves you first before you could have ever done anything is difficult to do. It can be hard to truly believe that. You might wonder to yourself, if that's true, why haven't things gone better for me in my life? Why have I had so many struggles? To accept God's love for us means to make ourselves vulnerable. To be willing to step out in faith and trust in an all-powerful, sacred, holy, and perfect God, that despite all of your inadequacies and your most unlovable parts of yourself, God chose you. God loves you, desires you, invites you to be in relationship with Him. And there is nothing that you can do to change that. Romans 8 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present or the future, or any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." To know and accept the depth of God's love for you, I challenge you this morning. To know and accept that love for you is the most important thing you can do with your life. There is nothing else in this life that is more important than truly knowing this, not just in your head, but in your heart. When you know this in your heart, it changes everything about the way you experience life. It changes everything about how you relate to one another. It changes everything about how you relate to God. It changes everything about how you experience the world. Because when you know that you are loved, when that is the most important part of who you are, that God created you and loves you, nothing in the world is the same after that. The second thing we must do to unwrap the gift of love this Christmas is experience God's love. I have a wish list on my refrigerator right now on a whiteboard, and it's all the things that I want my family to experience this Christmas together. You know, there's one thing we can count on, right, when Christmas comes around, that there's going to be endless opportunities to celebrate Christmas. And I have so many things on my whiteboard. Like, I really want to go to the Audubon Zoo Lights, and I really want to take my kids to see Celebration in the Oaks, and I'm really looking forward to the girls going to have tea with my mom at Windsor Court and maybe going to the Nutcracker Ballet. The things that are on this list could just go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, I want to go to the Roosevelt Hotel. I want to go see the snow, fake snow, falling on Fulton Street. I want to do it all, right? But, you know, some of the most important things on my experience wish list for Christmas this year are actually things we're doing right here. My family going to the live nativity tonight is one of the things on my wish list. Next week, to be at the Angel Tree Party, and then on Sunday to experience our family being together for the cantata and for our brunch afterwards. Those are on my wish list. And they're on my wish list because at those events, unlike all the rest of the events on my calendar, at those events, at those experiences, I am setting time aside to really experience the love of God at Christmas time, to remember God's love for me. And so I wonder for you, how could you this Advent season find ways to experience God's love? Because even if you accept it, and that's something that you're willing to work on, accepting God's love every day, if you don't find ways to experience God's love for you, it doesn't become real in your heart and in your soul. And so what are ways that God is inviting you this Advent season to slow down and to make time to experience God's great love for you? Finally, we must share God's love. Our passage tells us this morning that in order to show love, we must know love. In order to share God's love with others, we must first know God's love for us. And so if we are accepting God's love and if we are experiencing God's love, the next logical step is to share that love with others. As God loves us, we are to love one another, our passage says this morning. As God offers grace and mercy and forgiveness to us, we are called to extend that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness to others. Perhaps the greatest gift that you could experience this Christmas is to truly love someone else the way God loves you. To extend grace and mercy and forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it. To love someone in your life that you feel like is unlovable. To meet someone where they are. To offer patience and kindness and compassion to someone that you disagree with. To choose peace and harmony over conflict and bitterness. To pick humility over pride. The story of Christmas is the story of the God of the universe sleeping in a feeding trough as a bed. The parents of God in the flesh finding no room in the inn. The glory and delight in finding great joy in the simplest of gifts. And the wonder at living in the light of silver linings. This season, may you remember the truth of love. And the love story of Christmas. And might you experience this promise from Ephesians that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ for you. And to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, that phrase from Ephesians that your love is beyond all knowledge. God, I pray that each one of us would just sit beneath the magnitude of your love for us for a moment. That we could take this just a couple of moments to reflect on how deeply you love us and care for us. Like the children said earlier, you just know that you're loved because it's love. And God, as hard as it is to put words to that, we just thank you and praise you for the incredible, miraculous way that you care for us, provide for us, and call us to share your love with others. And so as we sing this last song this morning, God, I just ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we would walk out of this building today knowing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet that we are so deeply and unconditionally loved. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.